What is it going to take for there to be an 82-game Major League Baseball season that begins in early July? Well, there's an in-depth proposal on the table right now. But the biggest hurdle may be what isn't written. Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
During this past week, a couple of significant documents have been exchanged between the owners and the players. One of them is 67 pages long. And it's a document dealing with the health protocols of what's going to take place if baseball is going to get started again. It includes, obviously, a whole lot of detail. We can't cover it all, but some that I find interesting. There will be no lineup card exchanges between the managers with the umpires at home plate. There will be no high fives, no fist bumps, no sunflower seeds or tobacco use. Post-game showers will be discouraged. There will be daily multiple temperature checks of all the people that are involved. There will be personal rosin bags and pine tar for each player. Masks are to be worn everywhere except on the field. I find that interesting given what's been said about the masks in general and whether they do any good or not. There are also supposed to be a 6-foot social distancing that takes place at all times whenever possible. In other words, when it's not possible, obviously you got the batter, the catcher, the umpire close together. You got, let's say, the first baseman and the runner at first close together. Those things are fine, but anything outside of that, sitting in the dugout or anything else, even in the clubhouses, there needs to be a 6-foot social distancing taking place whenever it is possible. One that I find very interesting, fighting and instigating fights are going to be strictly prohibited, and there will be severe discipline if anybody does that. So my first thought is, so if Aroldis Chapman plants a 102-mile-an-hour fastball into the ribs of Jose Altuve, how does that fit in that particular rule? Also, outside of the health issues, and again, many, many that have to be worked through, they're going to be tough to figure out how to do them, if they can actually be implemented, how they're going to be enforced. That's just one section or one portion of what's going on right now. Another document, much shorter, but maybe going to be a bigger hurdle, is a 12-page document that was given from the owners to the players that was titled The Economics of Playing Without Fans in Attendance. And in this document, the owners have told the players that if the season is played, if they start in early July and they play 82 games and throughout there are no fans in the stands, Major League Baseball owners are going to lose $4 billion. The players aren't necessarily buying it, and we'll get to that in a moment. But that's right now what the owners are saying. And they're saying that to make another point, which again is a contentious issue. Something else that has been talked about and is becoming clear as each day passes is that no player, or for that matter, a non-player, nobody's going to be obligated to participate. And that leads to a couple of questions. What if a large percentage of players decide that they're not going to participate for whatever reason? Or what if some of the biggest names in baseball decide they're going to sit it out? Well, we don't know the answer to those questions, but that could prove interesting one way or the other. So like I said, a lot to work through. All the health issues, all the financial issues, who will play and who won't as far as their own personal choice. A lot to be done in a relatively short period of time. If spring training, the second session of it, if you will, is to begin around June 10th and the season in early July, these things have to be worked through in a fairly quick period of time. But I don't believe that that's necessarily the biggest issue or those things are the biggest issue. I think the biggest issue is something that is not written in any of these documents. I did find it written, however, in an article. A longtime sports reporter and baseball writer, Bob Clappish, had an article in the Bleacher Report on Thursday. So that was May 14th. The title was, No Hint of Major League Baseball Compromise as Owners, Players Face Huge Gap on How to Save Season. Part of what he wrote is this. The owners and players are already dug in about money, and there's no hint of compromise in the air. If Major League Baseball returns July 4th, The union is demanding salaries be paid pro rata, per the agreement signed March 27th. The owners insist those terms pertain to historical norms, with fans in the stands, food, and parking all paying the freight. The owners say the union is delusional in thinking Major League Baseball's economy is limitless. The players say the owners are trying to pull a fast one. Again. They're demanding an audit. And no one has given the players any assurance that returning to the field is safe. None of these boxes can be checked in 2 weeks, not without trust in the party sitting across the bargaining table. Instead, the sport is setting itself up for a massive public relations disaster. The key line, the key sentence there is none of these boxes can be checked in 2 weeks, not without trust in the party sitting across the bargaining table. And that's the problem, in my opinion. That's the biggest problem. There is a history, a long-running, decades-old, you could even say century-old history of a lack of trust between Major League Baseball owners and Major League Baseball players. And as you heard in Klapisch's article, and even with the $4 million loss document, or $4 billion, I'm sorry, not million, $4 billion loss that the owners are claiming will take place, the players aren't believing them. The players don't trust them. They don't trust the numbers. They don't trust the owners because, from the player's standpoint, they agreed to be paid based upon the number of games back on March 27th. If there were going to be 81 games played, then they would get paid half of their salary. The players think that that agreement was reached in March. And now the owners are saying, well, no, we can't do that. We made that agreement based upon if we had fans in the stands. Well, I, for one, am not buying that. I don't believe that on March 27th they thought that there would be fans in the stands at all to start the season. And I'm guessing they probably thought it was a legitimate possibility there'd be no fans at all in the season. So the owners aren't trusting them. The owners are now trying to say something different. This is what the players are saying. And the owners are saying, because of all of these losses, players, we want you to take a 50-50 revenue split. And the players and the Players Association says that that's a non-starter. Okay, this is acting like a salary cap. And again, they question the numbers. Major League Baseball hasn't opened its books. I'm guessing they won't open their books. And so the players are saying, well, wait a second, you expect us to believe this? So that's the issue. Trust. Is there trust between the two sides sitting across the bargaining table? There is not. The question is, can they overcome that lack of trust to get some deal done in hopes of having some portion of a baseball season this year? Now, I'm going to say this. Especially in the last week, I have started to give some thought to the idea that the owners do not think there is going to be a season. And what they are doing now is jockeying for position and trying to make the players look bad, look greedy. That is part of the bargaining process. It's happened in the past. But what I saw this past week, twice, and one time it actually was the final sentence of an article, where in the article it said the average Major League Baseball player makes $4.4 million a year. When I see that coming out, it perks up my ears. And I would say this to you, if you follow baseball and if you read the articles or you watch things, if you hear that being said more as each day or week passes, it is likely that it is, obviously it's trying to put pressure on the players on behalf of the owners to come to the table and reach some kind of an agreement. But it also is a ploy that's used to place blame when you think that there is not going to be an agreement. It was the method used back in 1994 and 95 during the strike when Bud Selig, every time he did an interview, said the average Major League Baseball salary is $1.2 million. So I have some real concerns about what's going on here. But the biggest concern is again, trust. And without that trust, it is hard to get anything done. Not saying impossible, but very, very difficult. Now, Klapisch said something else as well at the very end. And that is that the sport is setting itself up for a massive public relations disaster. Well, speaking of a public relations disaster, depending on what perspective you take, that may have happened this past week with some comments that Blake Snell made. He's a pitcher for the Rays. He won the American League Cy Young Award in 2018. And he said some things that blew up the internet. And here's part of what he said.
Y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, bro, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Now, that's just a small portion. What I saw was about 2.5 minutes long, and he said a lot of things like that and what I would consider to be even maybe worse than that. And there have been a couple of different sides, or maybe let's say three different sides. There's been the sides that's like, yep, he's right. Matter of fact, Bryce Harper said somebody's got to say it. He seemed to be backing up what Blake Snell said. Others have said he's wrong. Others have said he might be right, but he shouldn't have said that. Stephen A. ranted and said that he needs to shut up. Now, he said it more colorfully than that, but nonetheless, that's what he said. And in reflecting that, and he even talked about how he was risking his life to go out and play. Well, if that's the way he feels, that's the way he feels. I would disagree with that, but that's beside the point. But those kind of comments are going to come out. They came out by Blake Snell. Now, there's probably going to be a little bit of a settling down so that hopefully comments like that don't make it into the internet world again. But that's what's going on. Now, as I said, some people said he's right. Some people said he's wrong. Some people said he should just shut up. After those comments, Alex Rodriguez came on and made a plea that the owners and players figure out a way to make this work and how important it is. And I would grant him the case that it is important, but almost everybody said, come on, A-Rod, are you kidding me? You're a guy that made millions upon millions of dollars playing this game, and you did so because of what players that came before you sacrificed to get you to that point. And now you're a guy that wants to become an owner, and to do so, you know you have to get approved by the major league owners, and now you're playing this side of things. So the whole thing is becoming messier and messier as each day goes along. And it will become even more of a mess and less likely to have an agreement and therefore less likely to have a season if the trust continues to be fractured between owners and players. Because without that trust, everything between two parties, whether it's the major league owners and players, whether it's another one person and another person, whatever it might be, becomes extremely difficult. However, with trust among the players and the owners, with trust within baseball, with trust between individuals in a relationship, a lot of special things can happen.
The pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson. A 3-run homer. The Tigers lead it 8-4 in the eighth inning.
Renicki off the bag at first. The pitch. He swings, and there's a fly ball to left. Here comes Herndon. He's there. He's got it. The Tigers are the champions of 1984. They race on the field to Bob Hernandez. The Tigers have won the World Series. They are the champions of the world in 1984.
So I've got to explain that because there were three calls there in that particular broadcast. It was Ernie Harwell making those calls. But the first audio that you heard was actually not an announcer. It was Sparky Anderson mic'd up talking to Kirk Gibson as Dick Williams made a trip to the mound for the Padres to talk to Goose Gossage. And it's a great story because Kirk Gibson made his major league debut against Goose Gossage and he struck out. And leading up to this, Gibson was 1-for-9 with 7 strikeouts against Goose Gossage. Well, the Tigers were leading in the bottom of the 8th inning, 5-4. First base was open, and they were leading in the series 3-1, in a season in which they began 35-5 and led from wire to wire. It looks like they're about to win the World Series, but obviously the Padres have to win this game for the series to go on. So Dick Williams gives Goose Gossage four fingers, meaning I want you to put Kirk Gibson on. And this was back in the day when you actually had to throw the pitches. And Goose is on the mound. And remember, Goose is a future Hall of Famer at this time. He's on the mound, and he doesn't want to walk Gibby. So Dick Williams walks out to the mound to talk to Goose Gossage. And he was also mic'd up. And so Sparky's watching this, and he's watching Dick Williams and Goose Gossage talking. And we know from hearing the Goose Gossage audio from Dick Williams being mic'd up that Dick Williams is going, what? And Goose is saying, I don't want to walk him. And Dick Williams is going, well, what are you saying? You're going to strike him out? Goose says, yeah, I'm going to strike him out. Sparky's over there watching this, and he goes to Gibby. He doesn't want to walk you. He doesn't want to walk you. Dick Williams comes back to the dugout. Goose pitches to Gibby. Gibby hits a three-run homer to make it 8-4, going into the ninth inning with the MVP and Cy Young Award winner going to come in to finish it off, Willie Hernandez. And the game's over, essentially. Right? Then you hear the call of Herndon catching the fly ball in left field. Detroit Tigers are World Series champions. And I talked about trust because with that team and with that organization at that time, there was a lot of trust from ownership to front office to Sparky and his coaching staff and to his players. Sparky Anderson came over in 1979, and when he got to Detroit, he said, we will win a world championship in 5 years. 1984, the fifth year. And the core of that team, guys like Jack Morris, a Hall of Famer, and Dan Petrie, two pitchers that carried the weight of that team along with others. And then some of the key players, Lance Parrish at catching, Alan Trammell, a Hall of Famer at short, Lou Whitaker, at least an arguable Hall of Famer at second base, Kirk Gibson, who hit the home run. All of those guys were homegrown Detroit Tiger guys. And they helped this team to a phenomenal season. Like I said, think about starting a Major League Baseball season 35-5 and being in first place. They started 9-0 from day one until the end of the season. They swept the Royals and the ALCS, and then they won the series against the Padres 4-1. For those of you that are Tiger fans, you remember how special that season was. And it's interesting, in God's providence, as I was thinking through, as I'm reading and thinking through what I want to do for this week's podcast, I'm thinking about the whole idea of trust and the concern about the lack of trust between the owners and the players and what that might mean, not only for this year, but ongoing. And then I started thinking about the clip that might fit in with that, showing the opposite of what good can come about when there is trust. In God's providence, I met a couple, Dr. Jarl and Mrs. Malwin. And I never met him before. And I first started talking to Mrs. Malwin, and I found out that she knew everybody on the 1984 Detroit Tigers. Now, they're from Venice, Florida, but they spend half of the year, more or less, up in Pentwater, Michigan, at Bass Lake. And so she would be with a friend of theirs up there listening to all the Tiger games or watching all the Tiger games, and she knew all of the players from the Tigers. And so it was great getting to know this person, but also seeing the connection, not only of the Tigers, but the connection of friends that we had in common up in, say, Hart, Michigan. We had a number of friends that they had that were also friends of ours when we lived up in that area. Well, later on, I got to talk to Doc Malwin, who has been a dentist or had been a dentist for over 60 years and also is a diver. And again, spends about for over 50 years, about half the year, maybe let's say 5 months up in Pentwater. And we talked about any number of things, but what we talked about most of all was the Lord and his love for the Lord and his trust in the Lord. And even though his vocation was to be a dentist, what he did outside of that vocation was another calling that the Lord had placed on his life. The Lord had taken him and transformed him and brought him to saving faith in Christ, and now he wanted to establish trusting relationships with others, and one of the key ways he did that was through his diving. But he wanted to do that not simply so that he had a good trusting relationship with other people, but that he could point them to the need for them to have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect and sufficient atonement on the cross. And so all this is happening, and I'm thinking, this is perfect. I mean, this fits perfectly with what I wanted to talk about in this week's podcast. And it's just a simple story to show how good God is and how his providence can involve things that are huge, like, will there be a baseball season in 2020? Or even bigger than that, what will be all of the outcome of all that's taking place because of this whole COVID-19 thing? to something small like me meeting a couple that happened to be Tiger fans, at least indirectly, and have friends that I have friends with, and that are talking, especially Doc Mullen, about trust and how important trust is. And I got to spend some time with this couple, and Doc Mullen showed me some things, and he said a couple of things over and over. And he said it in different ways. But one of the things he said, he was showing me pictures and telling me stories, and he said to me, "Don't despise small beginnings." And each time he said that, I thought, you know, that's really good advice, and it's easy for us to do that. But the other thing he said, and again, he said it in multiple ways, but the gist of it is this. The gist of it is he would be telling a story about a man who didn't know the Lord and then came to know the Lord, and what he was like before and what he was like after. And he would say something on several occasions along these lines. He didn't wear lace panties. Of course, making the point that this was a man of God. And so I thought about that a lot too, and every time he said it, I would chuckle. And then I realized that also fits in what I want to talk about in this podcast as it regards trust. Because I would exhort those in Major League Baseball, as well as men everywhere, not to put your trust in those who are trying to emasculate you. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us again next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for listening.